Hello and a warm welcome to the EMG Health Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jonathan Sakia, and this is the third installment of our series on atopic dermatitis, sponsored by an educational grant from Sanofi Genzyme and Regeneron, in which the views and discussion might not represent the position or endorsement of either or of EMG Health. If you've missed the first two episodes, be sure to head into our archives and check those out to garner the full picture. So far in this series, we've touched on the COVID-19 pandemic's impact on atopic dermatitis research, the quality of life and disease burden on patients, as well as the importance of long-term treatment strategies in this disease area. For today's episode, I'm joined by Dr. Maria Valeria Angles, a pediatric dermatologist working at the Hospital Italiano de Buenos Aires in Argentina, of course, who's also coordinator of the Atopic Dermatitis Working Group of the Argentine Society of Dermatology. In this podcast, our topic explores treatment results in early and sustained improvements in adolescents and adults with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Dr. Angles, welcome.
Welcome, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and it's lovely to have you.
Thank you very much for inviting me to participate in this interesting podcast series.
We're delighted to have you. So we'd like to start. Can you tell us about the hallmark and most burdensome symptom of atopic dermatitis, and why does itching become so pathologic?
Well, Jonathan, pruritus is the cardinal symptom of atopic dermatitis. When we were students, the professor told us without itching, there is no atopic dermatitis. The itching is one in one of my patients was of such magnitude that he scratched with a sponge during the bath to calm the pruritus. Others, patients, applied cold water compress to affect areas to relieve. In this way, you could find many more examples on how many try to calm the itch. Pruritus is the symptom that most affects the quality of life of patients with atopic dermatitis, producing sleep disorders which lead to poor concentration and work and school performed in an adolescent who suffer from. Pruritus also causes worsening of skin lesions that make more susceptible to superinfection, constituting a vicious cycle from which it is difficult to get out, leading to chronicity in the long term. It's very important, Jonathan, that early systemic treatment of atopic dermatitis, mainly in the moderate to severe form, make it possible to stop this cycle and prevent the progression to the chronicity of the disease.
I think the examples that you provided, Maria, of a child in a bath scratching with a sponge or constantly applying cold compresses give some insight into the impact this has on people's lives, that they can't even sleep. So this is a major problem, yes?
Yes, this is very important problem and alter profoundly affect the quality of life of the patient and the families where the children live, because the parents don't sleep at night, and the children go very tired to the school, and the teachers don't understand what happened with that child.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And as you say, mm-hmm. It affects the whole family. So atopic dermatitis it's a frequent reason for patients to attend a general practitioner. What's the role of a GP in providing advice and allaying concerns regarding targeted monoclonal antibody therapy?
It's a very interesting question, Jonathan. In my country, Argentina, it's rare for a general practitioner to prescribe biological medication, since dermatologists are charged of monitoring and treating patients with moderate to severe form of the disease. In general, general practitioners are unaware of the management of this medication, in general for fear of side effects, when in reality they tend to be safer. Access to the specialist is easy in our country, when we are a significant number, mainly in large cities like Buenos Aires, Argentina, where we work. In case of the interior of the country, or in the field, general practitioners have the possibility of consulting by telemedicine with a specialist who can advise them on the use of this time of treatment.
So the use of telemedicine, did that precede the COVID pandemic? People were already doing that before the pandemic?
We started telemedicine before the pandemic.
Fantastic. And of course, dermatology is because it's so visual, is a very good use of it. So congratulations for that.
Yes, we have an education program to interior, to dermatologists who work in the field, like ECHO, atopic dermatitis, is a Zoom platform when the physician can explain her cases of patients with atopic dermatitis and receive advice on their treatment and the follow-up of these patients. It is a very important form of education for a physician who don't have access to actualized information for new information or are not confident to treat this type of patients.
So to expand on that, tell us a bit more about how GPs can become more confident in knowledge about atopic dermatitis, novel systemic treatments, to improve the interactions between doctors, families, patients, and specialists. Tell us some more.
Yes, that's an excellent question, Jonathan. The key is education. Education, education, and more education. Education of the medical community is the key to achieve safety and correct management of systemic treatment in patients with atopic dermatitis. In our center, we have a telementoring system, like I say previously, yes. And we develop clinical practice guidelines, and that guidelines is also an important support for physicians who decided to treat this patient. On the other hand, the education on the families of patients with atopic dermatitis helps to understand the disease and dispel myths and fears in relation to treatment, improve the adherence of them, like workshops, atopic schools, patient communities, patient associations, counseling. Yes, we work with education in all of the aspects about atopic dermatitis in our hospital and in our community.
So you mentioned atopy schools. Tell us a bit about that.
Atopy schools is a moment or a place when the patient can consult with a nurse, with an allergist and dermatologist, and the nurse explain the patient how to put the creams, and it's very important to the adherence to the treatment. And the patient can interact with a psychologist, and all this interaction is very good to understand the disease and to to contribute to the adherence to the treatment of the patient and the families.
Yeah, so I guess that leads me to my next question. You've mentioned, the psychological aspect. So how can multidisciplinary teams be involved in educating patients and family members about clinical conditions, as well as help them understand the importance and application of the required treatment to optimize longer-term outcomes?
Well, Jonathan, it's very important to work as a team together with other specialists involved in the management of the patient with atopic dermatitis, such as allergists, pulmonologists, clinicians, pediatricians, like I commented previously. As mentioned previously, the development of workshop families and patients with atopic dermatitis constitutes a fundamental tool for education. We have an active Instagram page, dermatologia.hospitalitaliano, where patients can access podcasts about atopic dermatitis and live recorded by specialists. We also work together with Argentina Society of Dermatology in order to advise patients and help them consult with the specialist.
Okay, so I'd like to discuss some findings relating to the drug dupilumab and its use as a treatment for adolescents and adults with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. What were the initial objectives of the research and which studies were included in the analysis?
Oh, it's a very interesting publication. It's a recent publication about the very good results that dupilumab present in adults and adolescent patients in terms of improving the itching, The initial objective of this article is to report the timing, magnitude, and sustainability to the effect of dupilumab on different measures of itch using the data of phase 3 trials of dupilumab in adults with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis and one phase 3 trials in adolescents with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis.
So can you share the key takeaways from the analysis as well as the findings relating to the onset of action and efficacy of dupilumab on this symptom, on itching?
Okay. The message to take home after reading the publication and observing the results of dupilumab in my patient is remarkable, rapid and sustained pruritus is improvement. That is my experience with my patients. Dupilumab improved the itch since the first doses, long-term sustained control. Dupilumab versus placebo shows significant improvement in itch as early as 2 days in adults. It's very, very early. And 5 days in adolescents. And the response was sustained through the end of the treatment. And this is a very important data to the dermatologist. And the itch is very important to calm the itch, to resolve the itch as soon as early possible to improve the quality of life of the patient suffer atopic dermatitis.
So I'm just thinking of, you know, I'm a very visual person. And when you were describing to me a child, you know, scratching in the bath with a sponge or constantly applying cold compresses, and you think after just a few days, their symptoms are resolved, I'm sure the relief and the impact on quality of life must be massive. And I presume it also means that they'll tend to stick to the treatment. They'll adhere to the treatment if they're seeing such rapid benefits, yes?
Yes, that is very important, Jonathan, to stop the cycle, itch and scratching and super infection and sleep alteration and alters profoundly the quality of life. If you use a medication can stop that cycle, is a very important result to the patient and the families.
Yeah. So I'd like to discuss some instruments. There's the Peak Pruritus Numerical Rating Scale and the very poetically abbreviated Patient-Oriented Eczema Measure, or POEM. Mm-hmm. I love that. They were used in the study to measure itching, and other studies have used the Scoring Atopic Dermatitis, or SCORAD, itch, yes, visual analog scale score. From your experience, what are the best of these tools to use in clinical practice?
This is a very good question and a frequent question of dermatologists. there is no a better tool to measure it. What is important is to be able to quantify it in some way. The use of PNRS, pruritus, and POEN is a good strategy. I usually use, in my practice, SCORAD and TeleQI as a tool in the office. But it's important to measure the pruritus in some way. That's the message, yes. Use the scale, you feel more comfortable, you know better, but use any tool to measure pruritus, because pruritus leads with the quality of life of the patient, like we commented previously.
Yeah, so it's an important point. Use something you're comfortable with and measure. Having measurements obviously allows us to quantify improvements instead of just something vaguely subjective. So I like that very much. So I'd like to finish with a topical question that will be of relevance to many, if not all, of our listeners. In the current pandemic climate, can patients taking dupilumab safely receive a COVID-19 vaccine?
Of course. They can, should, and be vaccinated with mRNA vaccine like Moderna and Pfizer, as long as they don't have a history of allergy to the vaccine component or a history of severe or common allergy like food, plants, inhalants, venom, and latex. These patients are more likely to the general public to have an allergy reaction to an mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. People who receive mRNA vaccine should be monitoring on site for 30 minutes after getting the vaccine to pesticide allergies, yes?
Yes.
Patients receiving dupilumab should avoid live virus vaccine. The vaccine available in UK are not live virus, so they can be applied safely. It is believed that the immune response to vaccine will be adequate under treatment with dupilumab, but more studies are needed. Yes, but yeah. It's safe to use a vaccine with mRNA vaccine like you have in UK, like Moderna and Pfizer. You can apply safely and with no problem, except the allergy, that is an important point. The allergy, yeah. And the patient can consult to an allergist or an immunologist, because if the patient has any antecedent or any history of severe allergy, this patient perhaps can't receive the vaccine. Yes.
Yeah. So it's. It's very sensible advice. Obviously, COVID is a nasty disease, and the oft-stated advice, if you have any concerns, speak to your doctor. So
yes, and remember that dupilumab don't produce immunosuppression. It's an immunomodulator.
Yes.
And this is a very important data. To get more confidence to apply the vaccines, because don't immunosupprime like cyclosporin or methotrexate or corticosteroids, then is more aggressive and produce more immunosuppression that like dupilumab don't produce this effect.
So, you know, gaining not only the pediatric perspective, your observation about atopic dermatitis, and I will have this visual of a child scratching in the bath. It's going to stay with me. Obviously, it must be so tragic and so difficult for you to deal with. And it's very, very crucial information.
Yes.
Obviously, due to the chronic nature of the disease, the impact it can have on young people at a crucial stage of their development, and also the families and, you know, the stress that must cause. So that's why it's so important that we continue to share these kinds of findings with other dermatologists and continue working to relieve the burden of this disease on patients. So, Dr. Anglis, thank you so much for taking the time to come onto the podcast today to share your findings, and most importantly, thank you for all the work you do for your patients.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. A pleasure for me join to that podcast series.
My late father had a great expression. He said that anybody who spoke English with a foreign accent spoke one more language than I did. So so thank you very much for your excellent answers and the work you've put into it. So that's it, folks, for today's episode. Remember to look out for the fourth episode in this series on the subject of atopic dermatitis. Please take care and hope to have you back again on the EMG Health Podcast. Bye for now.